Haggai chapter 2 from verse 5 to 9. Okay. It said, according to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you. Don't be afraid. Can you tell your neighbor, don't be afraid? Next verse, quick, keep going. For thus said the Lord of hosts, yet more, it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
Sayeth the Lord of hosts. Next verse. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, said the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, said the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, said the Lord of hosts. That word peace there is the same word as prosperity. Can you lift up your hand? I pray over you that in this house you will find the lifting. Wonder whether you pay tax for shouting amen in Asaba. I say you will find prosperity. Now, God made a statement there. He said, there's a covenant I made with you when you came out of Egypt. I gave you promises of my glory. He said, even now, the spirit enforcing that promise is still available with you. You know, one of the things you need to know about God is the perseverance of his prophecies. When God says something, even if it looks like it's not working, even if it looks as if he's not ready to get it done, even if it looks as if it has expired, prophecy perseveres. Because there's a spirit behind the prophecy commanding his manifesting. Are you still with me?
Yes,
I shared with them a joke in church and about Elisha. Elisha asked for a double portion of the glory upon Elijah, and he collected it. And then they told us Elijah did a certain number of miracles, about 16 recorded ones. And then Elisha did supposedly about 32 or so, or 31. And died. And from the little mathematics I know, 32 is the double of 16. Is that true? And are they hear English waving in? Eh? Okay, so 32 is supposed to be the double of 16. So he died after doing 31. And I could imagine him arriving in heaven with an attitude. And I see an angel asking, what's wrong with you? He said, no, God didn't keep his word. Why didn't he keep his word? Well, he promised me 32. I did only 31 and I die. Why should I die at 31? Come on, are you here?
Yes, sir.
And then just said, okay, let's talk to him. And they reported back to God. God said, Elisha, just go and sit down, okay? He called Elijah, so God, see how God treated me. Elijah said, just keep down. God never fails. He said, but in my case, I don't understand why he failed. That's why he sit down. He's sitting in heaven. And then time is passing. Years are going. And then one day, God said, oh, you come. Somebody sent for Elisha. So Elisha comes. And he joins and sits down on the balcony of heaven, looking down on the earth with the Father and with the Son and with some of the saints gone. He said, what are we looking at? God, just watch. And I'm carrying a dead man. And it's a procession. Elisha is, well, how does this concern me? He said, just watch. And I'm just moving and moving and moving and moving. And suddenly, they saw a band of enemies coming on the other side to attack Israel. Elisha is wondering, what has this got to do with me? Why did they invite me to this viewing ceremony? The men carrying the casket. Suddenly got to a junction that Elisha didn't recognize well. And then he looked in and said, ah, that's supposed to be where they buried me. And the men carried this thing. And the soldiers approached it. They took it, dumped there, and ran off. As this body hit the bones of Elisha, the body jumped up. I said, they're running. And God turned to Elisha and said, number 32. No, you didn't hear me. Because even though you are dead, your prophecy never dies. I came to the wrong church, I'm telling you. I need to go home. Man of God, I think I need to relive now. Are you guys hearing my voice? Can you lift your hand high? You will never miss out with God. So the spirit enforcing the word abides with you. He said, don't be afraid. He said, but there's something coming. He said, you think you have seen glory now. He said, there's another glory coming. He said, this glory, are you here? Is the glory of a latter house. Now, you know the context of this discussion is the comparison between the temple of Solomon and the temple of Zerubbabel. When the Assyrians came into Israel and were scattered the temple, and the Babylonians came and tore it to shreds. Zerubbabel came ready to rebuild the temple. And then he started. And for many years, he was stopped. For 13 years, the temple was stagnated until the prophet said, it's not by might or by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And the power of delay was broken and the temple was completed. After the temple was completed, the Bible said there were some people that saw the old temple and they saw the new temple. The younger ones are rejoicing about the new temple. The older ones are crying that the old was better. And the prophet said, no, don't you worry. The old may look better, but there's a glory in this one that is better. Is anybody hearing my voice? He said, there's a glory. Can you lift up your hand? I don't care what your yesterday looked like. I came to say to you, you will see a new glory. You will see a new power. You will see a better tomorrow. You are going from glory to glory. Wherever you are now is not the best will be. I declare over you, greater things are coming. Greater honor is coming. Greater fire is coming. Jump on your feet and shout power. Say now. So he said there's a greater glory that's greater than the one you are seeing. Listen, in that marriage, a new is coming. In that business, a new is coming. I wish I could hear you. Listen to me. You see, even if you went through hell, God never brings a man back to where the man fell from. No. That God doesn't do that. No, God doesn't bring you back to where you fell from. That's why when man fell, he fell from a hierarchy of being next to God. The Bible says it was a little lower than Elohim and came all the way crashing down to below devils. And when God restored him, he didn't put him back there. He said, sit with me, heavenly places in Christ. Am I talking to somebody here today? If you fail, you are getting better. The man I'm talking to didn't come to church. Is he here? I say, if you went down, your business is going better. Your relationship is going better. Your spiritual life is going better. Your career is going better. Your ministry is going better. The day your amen rises, God give you a double portion. So there is a glory of the latter house. He said it's better than the former. Are you still with me? But then there's another type of glory that God revealed that I want to address more this night. When I'm talking about the glory of the latter house. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the Bible talks about the fading glory on the face of Moses compared to the glory you see in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians 3 from verse 6. 2 Corinthians 3 from verse 6. Follow me. He said, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth what? Life. Now look at the comparison. Keep going. But if the ministration of death written and engraven in stones, was glorious. Now, he's talking about the ministry of Moses when he received the law engraven in stones. The tablet that God gave him was glorious. So that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses, for the glory of his countenance, quick glory, was withdrawn away. He said Moses was so full of glory in his face, but that glory was a passing glory. Next verse. How shall not the ministration of the Spirit? We are dealing with thy kingdom come. Come on, are you still with me here? How will the ministration of the Spirit not be not rather more glorious? If the Old Testament carried glory, how much glory will the new carry? Keep going. For if the ministration of condemnation was glory, much more does the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. Ekoto rabashataha. Somebody is about to enter a new dimension. I'm more excited than you. That's why I keep telling you. I don't know why I came. How can I be more excited than you? Can you lift your hand and shout, glory is coming upon me? Now, put it back. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect. By the reason of the glory, he said, if you stand the old side by side the new, the old will look like darkness. He said, if you stand the old side by side the new, the old will look like dirty clothes. You know, I tell the pastors that I mentor, I teach my people, I said, the problem we have with the prophetic movement in Nigeria is that everybody goes to the Old Testament and stays there. Most pastors, everything they teach and preach is the old. They never cross to the new. They don't understand that if you stand the old side by side the new, the old looks like dirty rags. Are they still coming? Are you here? Yeah. We are talking about thy kingdom come. Something must land on you tonight. Lift your hand and shout, the glory is coming. Scream like thunder, the glory is coming. Look at the next verse, quickly. Keep going. It says, has no glory. Now verse 11. For if thou, which is done away, was glorious, much more that which remaineth. Agodolo koshakata. And break it to rabashataha. It is more glorious. Somebody shout, I see the glory. Say like thunder, I see the glory. You see, brothers and sisters, please sit down. You know, one of the things I need you to understand as I wrap up this night is this. That we are already living in the dispensation of that glory. But it's getting more and more glorious. Come on, are you with me? You see, and the reason the church in Nigeria is not experiencing the joy it ought to, the peace it ought to, the excitement it ought to, is because our thinking is in the old, not in the new. You know, I'm a deliverance minister, and I'm proud of that. I'm not bothered about it. But I don't do deliverance the way you do. Some of you here that are deliverance ministers, you're not hearing me. I don't get up glorifying Satan. While you are hearing me now, deliverance is happening. Is anybody getting what I'm talking about? I rebuke devils. I cast out things. But listen to me. I understand that a Christian shouldn't live a life of warfare forever. What frightens me about many of the churches I see is this. You see people who have been in church for 17 years that are still looking for deliverance. When will they be set free? When will they walk in the reality of the joy that Jesus brings? You ask people to come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. They enter church and are still carrying burden. When will they find rest in Christ? Are you still hearing me? And the reason is not that they've not received rest. The reason is this: if you carry a big weight on your head and then you lift it and drop it down, your neck is still doing as if there's something there. Come, are you hearing me? Now, the people, because their neck is still doing as if they're carrying the weight, are assuming that they are bound when the load has been lifted. I don't think you're getting me. It's a conditioning. I'm going somewhere. It's a conditioning. It's a mind conditioning that Satan has done to the church. So the church is not operating in its fullness because they still think that every bad dream shows that they are bound. That every loss of a job shows that they are bound. That every loss of relationship shows that they are bound. So anytime something negative happens, they go looking for someone to deliver them from a bondage they were delivered from. That's the same way you train a horse. Have you seen the picture? I put it online some time ago about a horse that somebody tied a rope on the horse and tied the rope to a chair, a small plastic chair. A horse, they tied rope on the horse and tied it to a small plastic chair, and the horse stood there for the whole day. The moment the rope was on there, the horse thought that it was tied. Now, with one shaking of the head, the plastic chair will move. But the horse didn't shake because it has been used to being tied before. And tied and put in a big something. So when he noticed the rope on his neck, he just assumed they have come again. No, I don't. Is anybody hearing me? The horse said they have come again. The people that tied me before has tied me again. So he just stood there. Plastic chair, one, not two. Not glued to the ground. Plastic chair. Horse stood there for the whole day. It's a mental conditioning. And that's what's happening in church. Most of the people moving up and down looking for prophets and priests to deliver them. That's why they fall into the hand of all these 419 people. That's why people arrange miracles and do all kinds of nonsense in order... Are they hearing my voice? The reason is because the people that are dealing with are more foolish than them. Lift up your right hand. I speak into you. As you are living here now, you will see that new glory. You will see that new power. You will see that new breakthrough. The day your amen rises, take your portion. Let me give you a few distinctions between the old reality and the new reality. Between the dispensations of the old and this one. So you can understand, when he's talking about the glory of the latter house, what glory is he talking about? The first one is the reality of the finished work. The reality of the finished work. That as you are sitting here now, you are no longer working for salvation. You are working out your salvation. No, you're not hearing me. You see, I say some things that always cause trouble. But I'm not a young man anymore. Come on, are you with me? Don't let my looks deceive you. Amen? Now listen to me. If you're here, say yes. You know, somebody wanted tried to greet me. He said, I wish you heaven at last. I said, that's an old wish. Because I am seated in heavenly places with Christ right now, far above principalities and powers. You don't wish me where I am. When you are born again, you should be as sure of heaven as if you are physically there. I don't wake up being afraid of going to hell. You didn't hear me. Is anybody hearing my voice? Why should I be afraid of going to hell? Heaven is no longer an ambition. No. Heaven is home. I am a member of the family of God, fully adopted as a son. If you ask about my home address, it's heaven. Am I talking to somebody here today? You need to understand that. Don't wish me the money I have in the bank. It's like, I wish that one day you have a bank account. As I have one. Am I talking to somebody here today? I'm not saying that to despise the people. It's just a level of understanding. And that's why people are not bold. You know why there's no radical boldness of faith? Because people are not sure of their stance with God. Had one man preaching one day. He said, you see, the Bible says the two were together and then one was taken and the other left. And he said, no, this thing we're talking about, you can be in your house now quarreling with your wife and rapture trumpet blow and they will leave you. And I said, good message. Ignorance preacher. You are not going to heaven because you didn't quarrel. You are going to heaven because a price was paid that bought you. You may not like my message. If you don't like it, call police. I am here and I will finish this message. Is anybody hearing my voice here today? No! No! You have heard nonsense for too long until you believe it. And you just think that it's by your own self-righteousness that God receives you. That's why your faith goes up and down, up and down, up and down. When you are good, you have good faith. When you are down, this. And that's the reason you don't get a miracle. You know, can I digress? I know I have just about 19 minutes to close. But listen to me. Are you still with me?
Yes, sir.
Listen. You see, one day I was asking God. I said, there are many people in the church who are old following me who don't have their answer. What's the problem? He said, that is the same thing with everybody. I said, what do you mean? He gave me three answers, but the one I want to share is this. He said, no, whenever you pray in a meeting like this, many times you see when you have a crusade, younger believers, newer persons walk into church and they get a miracle. The older ones are there carrying their bondage of many years. And you're asking, what's wrong? God said to me, see, those people that are coming from Egypt, they know they don't deserve anything. They come to me just throwing themselves at my mercy and releasing their faith to receive. They don't act in entitlement. But these ones come with the prayer of the Pharisee. I have served in the choir. I have been a good usher. I have lived a good life. I deserve this thing. No, no, no. You don't deserve nothing. You come by the blood of the eternal covenant. You stretch. Am I talking to somebody here today? You receive because Jesus paid for it. That's how we get there. Are you still with me? That's why many people in church, the older they stay and the more they serve, the less their answers. Because their mentality goes from grace to works. And in this New Testament, works is toxic. Should I go home, Pastor Sam? Are you guys hearing my voice? No. This is a finished work issue. Where he said he was hanging on the cross, he didn't say Aluta continua. No. It's not an Aluta issue. Is anybody hearing me here today? It's not an Aluta issue. This one, it is finished. Paid in full. Finished work. Sin, finish work. Sickness, finish work. Poverty, finish work. Rejection, finish work. Darkness, finish work. Confusion, finish work. Anybody here shall finish work. That's what we are dealing with. That's a reality you need to pick up, sir. That's the glory of this latter house. Have you seen the deliverance ministers are the worst on this earth? The most ineffective are the people trying to deliver people. They're fighting a devil that is defeated. The ones that are effective like me, don't come from a point of battle. They come from a point of victory. I don't think you're here. Thank you, my brother. Kawosioma. Are you hearing my voice here? They don't come from a point of battle. Today, some people say, bring match on this Sunday. We go match at time. Now, fire for fire. It's not about battle. It's about greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Ekotorebo shahataha. La kente kemeno kabaha rakia gabarakata lembrekete reboshkia. He said, little children, you have overcome them. Not you will overcome. Not try and overcome. You have overcome them. But not because you fought hard, but because greater is he that is ayakoto managabaha than he that is in the world. Adoko shakata, I declare your victory. I declare your release. I declare your empowerment. I declare your turnaround. Somebody jump on your feet and shout power. Anoko shoko toreboski. Abaladadada. You can read Hebrews chapter 10. I don't have the time. You can read Hebrews chapter 10. The Bible tells you there's no more offering for sins. He has scattered everything. By one sacrifice, he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. You are living in that greater glory. Where you walk into the presence of the Father without any self-contradiction. No fear, no guilt, no condemnation, no self-esteem. Come on, are you with me? Is it have children? The way they behave. When I look at them, when they were young, all of them are adults now. When they were young, nobody that is a worker in my house will come into my room and jump on my bed. But your son will come into the room. He doesn't know you are Jew. He has no sense of Jew. All he knows is daddy. He jumps into the bed. You are there with your wife, and he just on your bed. He says, "Stop!" He's doing that because this is daddy's bedroom. And even without understanding all the implications, he understands entitlement. No, you're not hearing me. You don't need to know all the implications. Just know the entitlement. I am a heir of the Father and joint heir with Jesus. I belong here. Do you belong here? You see, if I can rewire your brain, I can guarantee you will live in victory for the rest of your life. That's all. Let's go to a second thing because of time. Lift up your hand and say, Father, I see the new glory. The second dimension of that glory is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The second dimension. The outpouring. You know, is this the same thing I'm dealing with? Many times I'm working with pastors because I mentor a lot of pastors. And you see a pastor talking about power failure. Have you met some pastors? They say, you know, I'm struggling with, you know, something doesn't feel right. Sir, the spirit you received abides with you. He's an abiding spirit. He's an indwelling spirit. The Holy Ghost is not fever. It's not how you feel burning sensation. Is anybody hearing me here today? He's an indwelling spirit. When I was a younger Christian, believe me, when I was a younger pastor, and I used to follow some preachers who talk about, you know, I went to a church and then the place is so dark, the atmosphere is so dull, and people are not responding and all of that. And I used to pray about atmosphere so much. I said, Father, let that. Then one day, the Holy Ghost just told me, you are the atmosphere. He said, even if you enter the darkest of places, if you are light, the place will brighten up. You are the atmosphere. You decide whether the church is dull or alive. Walking with, listen, if you enter anywhere and something dare you, the place will turn around. Am I talking to somebody here today? You're the atmosphere. What's wrong with you? Spirit day you. Can you tell another say spirit day you? The thing day. The thing day. The thing day. That thing is abided with you. Is there. One day, a woman came into my office. She was crying. He said her husband is involved in a relationship with a strange woman and all of that. And Papa, somebody told her, a prophet told her that that woman wired herself with juju. So the moment her husband slept with her, the husband's heart was torn. So I said, what should you attend? She told me. I said, okay. How long have you been a Christian? She told me. I said, you talk in tongues. She said, yes. I said, so, you carry the Holy Ghost and sleep with your husband. Another person carry the devil ghost and sleep with your husband. And the devil ghost defeat the Holy Ghost. Wait. Una, they hear me so? Wait. So I told her. I said, since it is one person is wired and sleep and then turn the man head, I said, go back home now and sleep very hard with him. Grab him, sleep with him hard with the Holy Ghost in you. And let somebody shall fire. Thunder fire question. What are you talking about? You see, listen to me. If you believe wrongly, you will see wrongly. She didn't know. You see that. It takes a lot to explain to Christians that we are in a higher court than any other court. Any court you enter today, any court you enter today, their highest ritual, highest, is the blood of a human being, highest, and burying you in a coffin. There are no rituals in any court higher than those two. Sharing, some courts is just the blood of animals. But when you go to the highest place, it's blood of human beings. And then put in a casket, bury you, bring you out. Eh? You didn't hear me? Our own court. It's not the blood of human being, blood of God. No, you didn't hear me? When they took you to the river, they buried you with him in baptism. In their own ritual, they allow something, they tell you go and do incantation, they gave us our tongues. But the most dangerous one in our own ritual is that our God does not stay in the shrine. He left the shrine and sat in us. Hey! He sat in us. Are you ready for an encounter? Lift up your hand. Whatever used to bring you down, break in the name of Jesus. From today, you will never see shame again. From today, you will never lose power again. From today, your voice carry authority. From today, you live in the new reality. If I hear your amen, take another portion. Sit down. Let me talk to you about another dispensation. This glory. The third dimension of this glory that we're talking about, the glory of the rich little house, is the rich decoration of the bride. The rich decoration of the bride. Brothers and sisters, you see,
When Israel wanted to enter Egypt, when they wanted to enter into Canaan, Moses said to them, Joshua said to them, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. So they took their bath, they got prepared, and a few days later, Jordan divided, they crossed over. And when they entered the Canaan, manna was still falling. They looked around. Things were still dry. They were already in Canaan. And the Bible said, Joshua, God said to him, take a sharp knife. Do a circumcision. They did that in Gilgal. And the Bible said they took away the foreskin. They tested the fruit of the land. And the manna ceased. And they began to eat the good of the land. That was the glory of the old. Are you still with me?
Yes, sir.
In the new, Ephesians tells us that he's not waiting for the bride to arrive to prepare them. Are you hearing me? He's not waiting for the bride to come in. He said, husbands, love your wife. Even as Christ loved the church. He gave himself for it. Come on, are you with me? And he says that he is coming for a church that is without spot or wrinkle. He's preparing the church and beautifying and decorating the church now. Come on, are you with me? Listen to me. You know, there are some of you that are fixated on the falling away in the last days. That's a reality. There's a lot of evil. In the last days, perilous times come. People are going to fall away. But those of you that are New Testament conscious should not just focus on the falling away. You should focus on the preparation of the bride for the arrival of the king. That this is the season for the wealth of the church. This is a season for the glory of the church. This is a season for the dominion and dominance of the church. Am I talking to somebody here today? I'm trying to rush for time so please bear with me because we can't exceed this time. Can you lift your hand? Every area of your life that needs preparation, that needs beautification, the hand of God intervene there. The glory of the Lord step in there. If I hear your amen, you'll take your portion. Can you just put verse 27 of the Ephesians chapter 5? Just put verse 27 for time's sake. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27. Okay. That he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it shall be holy and without blemish. So he's walking holiness, he's walking prosperity, he's walking direction, he's walking empowerment, everything that he may present a full package. Listen to me. What you look for is what you see. If you are looking for dead churches, you see them everywhere. If you are looking for dead preachers, you see them everywhere. If you are looking for men on the cutting edge, you will see them. Am I talking to somebody here today? You will see them. I want you to live here knowing that you are the bride. Anytime wedding they approach, bride color they change. This is not going well at all. Is anybody hearing my voice here today? If you came from the poorest family and you are marrying the richest man's son, shopping won't happen in Nigeria. I know you have never crossed River Niger before, never entered plane before. But if you don't shop in Singapore, you shop in Dubai. Why? The person where you de marry, you no go fall in hand. Are you hearing my voice here? The bride is you. The groom is the Lord of Lords. And wedding is approaching. You cannot be looking like a bambo. Are you hearing my voice? If the richest man. You will not be wearing scent one more. You will have every perfume. Is anybody hearing my voice? I am telling you, your story is changing. Lift your hand above your head. Let the story change. Let the turnaround begin. Let the glory begin. Let the life of God be visible. In the name of Jesus. Sir, prosperity is real. Forget all these crazy people that abuse it, telling you it doesn't work. Prosperity is real. If you don't know one reason why it is real, it's just because you are the bride. No, you are not hearing me. Are you hearing me? You are the bride. You are the bride. Can I tell you something? Let's take away even marriage. If you see a poor girl who just met a young man as a boyfriend who has money, the next day, her cloth will change. What I'm saying, is that true? Not only will the cloth change, she's coming back home 2 days later. She has a perfume that costs 100,000. Is that Chichi? Chichi, where you get this perfume? Chichi will look at you and say, level, don't change. Hey! Lift your hand above your head. I declare over you on the authority of Jesus, your level has changed. You enter your new place of glory, your new place of power, your new place of breakthrough, your new place of increase. If you shout amen 3 times, take your portion. Sit down. Finally. I'm sure you're not waiting for prayer. As I'm talking, I've been praying for you. Finally. The final thing about this new glory is the urgency of the fullness of time. The first thing about the glory, the reality of the finished work. Second thing about the glory, the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Third thing about the glory, the rich decoration of the bride. Fourth thing about the glory, the urgency of the finished work, of the fullness of time. Romans 9:28. You see, there are some of you that think that what we are preaching about will take 5 years to happen. Your own is happening tonight. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. This is the glory of the now, the little house. A short work. 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 Where the reaper overtakes the plowman. A short, are you hearing me here today? Where transfiguration happens overnight. A short walk. Where the man that saw you yesterday can't recognize you today. A short walk. A kotoha parataha. Everyone here that suffered delay and denial, I break the yoke of delay. I break the yoke of denial. I break the power of darkness. I command the turnaround. In the name of Jesus. Lift up your hand. Our time is up. A short walk. Open your mouth. Pray in the Holy Ghost. A short walk. A short walk. Come on. Open your mouth. Say, Father, do a short walk in my life. 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 Eketo kaparakataha. Etekele bayakataha. Iparakete le doshaha. Iparakete de. Perekete remoshata.